If it's happening now, we're talking about it. This is Hamilton Today with Scott Thompson on 900 CHML.
The United Nations General Assembly has voted for a humanitarian ceasefire as reactions to the Israeli-Hamas war in Gaza around the world continue to evolve. Let's bring in Arl Brown, Professor of International Relations, Senior Member of the Monk School of Global Affairs, University of Toronto. And here now, Arl, thank you for the time. Hope you're well.
Thank you.
This all sounds good. Nobody likes, certainly in democracies, likes to see the collateral damage of war and the pain and suffering that goes along. But how effective will a ceasefire be if Hamas isn't listening and doesn't release any hostages? What is the significance of this?
Well, first of all, you're quite right that anyone with any decency will be appalled and extremely saddened by the loss of innocent civilian lives. In a war, the loss of innocent civilian lives are a terrible tragedy. It is sadly a feature of war. It is the case that if we look at some of the statistics published by the UN itself in conflicts that have taken place in the 21st century, the loss of civilian life compared to that of military, that is collateral damage, has been something like 9-1, which is vastly higher than in the current conflict. And if you look at civilian deaths per airstrikes, again, whether you look at the global average, which was about 4.5 in each airstrike, in the case of Mosul, it was 17.1. In the case of Aleppo, 21.7. These are vastly higher than what we see in Gaza. But despite that, obviously, if there was some magical formula where we could end the conflict and bring about permanent peace, that would be a wonderful development. But what is happening right now, unfortunately, is almost counterintuitive, that we would like to believe that a ceasefire will save lives, but the reality may be that the world is not as we wish it to be, but it is a geopolitical morass where there are horrific forces that have committed terrible atrocities that intend to do it over and over again. And this kind of ceasefire would very likely only benefit Hamas. No wonder they greeted this resolution by the General Assembly with enthusiasm, because they know that it doesn't really do much in terms of constraining them, but would certainly constrain Israel. What is a surprise is that Canada voted for this resolution. I think this has shocked not only Israel, but some of Israel's allies in Europe, as well as United States. And it is also in sharp contrast with even the joint statement that was issued just the day before by the prime ministers of Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, which was moving away from the very strong moral clarity that was first expressed after the horrific, incredibly savage and brutal attack by Hamas on October 7th, but at least it contains certain things in it. And it's kind of worth comparing that joint statement with what actually was agreed upon, because it's almost unreal that Canada would go that far under this current administration to really vote for something that is so unilaterally directed exclusively, one would think, against Israel.
Is this more about politics at home domestically for the prime minister? Even Bob Rae, when he was declaring where Canada stood on this, off mic, he said, "We'll see how that flies," in a sarcastic tone, knowing exactly what you're saying, that this doesn't hold much weight. Then why do it? Is this for support at home if you're dwindling in the numbers in the polls?
It is very difficult to know. Can note that the NDP, which is considerably to the left of the Liberals, or at least it's supposed to be, greeted this as a very positive development. But when you look at what Canada said just the day before in that resolution or joint statement, where they said that they would be unequivocally condemning Hamas's terror attacks on Israel, their appalling loss of life, and the sexual violence, that they recognize Israel's right to exist and the right to defend itself, and that a sustainable ceasefire cannot be one-sided. It stated that Hamas, these are the words, Hamas must release all hostages, must stop using Palestinian civilians as human shields, and lay down its arms, which is a bit more ambiguous than saying that it has to vacate governing Gaza. It raised questions, because already there was this kind of moral muddiness to this, because when the Trudeau government and the Australian Prime Minister, who's rather anti-Israel, were saying that you know, the price of defeating Hamas cannot be the continuous suffering of Palestinian civilians, they were somehow suggesting that there's a magical solution to removing Hamas that they are unwilling to share with the rest of the world. We know that when Canada and NATO intervened to stop Milosevic in Serbia from ethnically cleansing Kosovo Albanians, according to the Wilson Center in Washington, at least 2,000 civilians were killed, and the number of soldiers were something like 700. So that would be about roughly 3-1, whereas in Gaza it's less than 2-1. But then when we look at the actual resolution that was passed, the one that Bob Rae somehow voted for, it did not resign, because he did have that option of resigning his position and not go along with this. It demands, this resolution by the General Assembly, an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. It doesn't name Hamas, doesn't blame Hamas for starting this war. There was a ceasefire on October 6th that Hamas broke, and Hamas has never kept its word on any ceasefire, including that brief truce that existed. And it, this resolution demanded the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages, without naming the fact that it is only Hamas that's holding hostages. So it failed to condemn Hamas. It had no specific reference to it. The Austrian government was so appalled by it that they voted against it, as did a number of other governments, including the United States and the Czech government. And then European allies such as Germany, Italy, Britain, all abstained, and Canada did not. So it's really difficult to understand how the Trudeau government could have taken such a very sharp turn against a democratic ally when it is in this war of self-defense against a banned terrorist group, one that's listed in the under the criminal code in Canada, Hamas.
We could talk forever on this. Arl Brown with us, professor of international relations, senior member of the Monk School of Global Affairs, University of Toronto. The UN General Assembly voted for a humanitarian ceasefire. We'll see where that goes. It sounds good, but is it reality? Arl, thank you for the time and insight. Much appreciated. Be well.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the Hamilton Today podcast. You can listen to the show live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 900 CHML and online at 900CHML.com.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.